Well, let's keep that in front of us and let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you have given us your word. Please open our eyes to see and to understand what you're saying to us. And please open our hearts that we might take it in and be changed together by your truth. Amen. There can be no doubt that the human body is one of the most amazing parts of God's creation. I'm told that each one of our bodies contains around 100 trillion different cells. We have in us enough length of blood vessels to go four times around the planet. The body has 600 muscles, 206 different bones in each of our body, 78 organs, and I've discovered, on average, 67 different species of bacteria in the tummy button alone. Can you believe it? Well, leaving those bacteria aside, for many of us, and for much of the time, those thousands of different parts work together in perfect cooperation. Isn't the human body a marvel of different parts working together so well? But I think there is one thing which is an even more impressive example of different parts working together well, or at least which should be that, and that is the church, the body of Christ. I've chosen to speak on this Congregational Sunday on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's great chapter on spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. And I feel a bit like a man sitting down to eat an elephant in one sitting, because there is so much here. We're going to look at some of the main things in this chapter. And then in January, we're actually planning four sermons devoted to the work of the Holy Spirit. So things which we don't cover today, we may pick up in those sermons in January. But I hope this will especially help those of us who feel unsure about how we can fit in at church or how we can contribute. And also that it will help those of us looking for encouragement and looking for inspiration to keep on going with church and the ways we serve at church. Now, it's important to know that Paul writes this chapter to correct certain problems in the Corinthian church. He's not just putting down everything he can think of about spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. He's answering certain problems which had come up in Corinth. You see, the Corinthian church were a very gifted church, but they were also a church with problems, including pride and divisions over spiritual gifts. If you read this whole section of chapters 12 to 14, you realize that the Corinthians were focusing on just one or two very outwardly impressive gifts. They're especially focusing on the gift of speaking in tongues, which is the ability to praise God in special spiritual language. And it seems that in Corinth, those who had that gift of speaking in tongues were becoming proud of how spiritual they were and were starting to look down on the others. And those who didn't have that particular gift, well, they were starting to feel like second-class citizens. They were starting to feel unspiritual and with little to offer. Now, in these chapters, Paul nowhere criticizes or downplays speaking in tongues. But he does correct the Corinthians' whole attitude to spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at three points he makes which were vital for them to grasp and for us to grasp if we're going to function in a healthy way as the body of Christ. So Paul's first point in this chapter is that every Christian is spiritual. No such thing as an unspiritual Christian. Let me read verses 1 to 3. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. You see, at one time when they were pagans, the Corinthians worshipped idols. But now they were worshipping Jesus as Lord. And Paul says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If we say Jesus is Lord and mean it, that is a sure sign that the Holy Spirit has worked a miracle in our lives. I do hope this has happened for you. Perhaps you grew up in a Christian home and it was over the years that you came to realize Jesus is the Son of God who died for you. And you put your trust in him. You committed to living your life for him. Well, that is the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe for you it happened later in life. You heard and investigated the gospel, perhaps at Christianity Explored, something like that. And you realized who Jesus is, what he's done for us. And you responded by trusting in him and asking him to be your Lord. Again, that is the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Perhaps you're not yet at that point of saying Jesus is Lord. Well, do pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you clarity on the truth and courage to respond. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And actually, this shows us the amazing grace and generosity of God. Not only did he send his Son into the world to die for our sins, he also sent his Spirit into our lives to enable us to respond to Jesus as Lord. And this tells us that every Christian is spiritual. Perhaps like some in Corinth, you don't feel very spiritual. But there's no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit at work in them. If you say Jesus is Lord and mean it, that is proof positive that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. So every Christian is spiritual. Next thing that Paul teaches us in this chapter is that we all have different gifts. Let me read verses 4 to 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Manifestation of the Spirit, another way of talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul says in verse 7 that they're given to each one. It's not just some Christians who have spiritual gifts. No, we all do without exception. And verse 7, they're given for the common good. They're given so that we can serve one another with them. Now, I take it that a gift is any ability we have with which we can serve God and other people. And whether we've grown up with these abilities, whether they've come to us in later years, they are no accident. Those abilities are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Very often the way we discover our gifts is by getting on and helping wherever we see there's a need. And as we find ways that we can serve God and other people, well, we're finding gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And above all, Paul is stressing here that our gifts are different. It says in the end in verses 4 and 6, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. But they all come from the same God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul lists some of the different gifts that they had in the Corinthian church. So verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to the other the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Actually, he mentions a few more gifts in verse 28 near the end. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having the gifts of healing. Those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, there is great variety in those gifts mentioned. It's so interesting that Paul mixes in together gifts that to us seem spectacular, like workers of miracles, verse 28, mixed right alongside gifts that to us seem more mundane, like those able to help others, verse 28. He mixes them together because he sees them all as equally spiritual. They're all gifts from the same Spirit. I do not think there's any reason to assume that all the more spectacular gifts have ceased, or that we could not have them today. But we don't need to get hung up on what exactly each of these gifts is and whether we see them in our church. Because writing to other churches in the New Testament, Paul mentions other sets of gifts. It seems there was variety between the different churches of the New Testament in what gifts they had. And really, that's Paul's point. There is great variety of different gifts within each church and between the churches of the New Testament. And in any church, the danger is that a few gifts are prized more highly than others. In Corinth, it was the gift of speaking in tongues. For us, I guess it might be teaching or preaching or leading or organizing. The danger of prizing a few gifts more highly than others is that some feel proud and then others feel less useful and that they have less to contribute. But the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, has given us all different gifts. And it's that difference which is to be celebrated. I once went to a Christian meeting as the visiting speaker. And they had four people in their music group that evening. And somehow, I don't know how their rota was planned, all four were playing the same instrument, the flute. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the flute. When we have the flute in our music group here, doesn't it enhance our worship? But can you imagine singing to just four flutes? Unless you've heard the sound of a cat scratching a window, it's hard for me to explain to you what it was like to be singing to just four flutes on their own. Now, it's variety of different instruments that makes our music beautiful. And it's variety of different gifts that makes a church beautiful. Isn't it wonderful to see the range of different gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us here at St. Mary's? Some in playing music, some in welcoming, some in setting up the building each week, some in planning the renovations of the building, some in teaching children, some in making friends with those in need, some just in spotting the needs of others and being able to understand how people are feeling, some just in giving a few kind and encouraging words, some in praying, some in inviting friends and neighbours, some in giving words of encouragement and truth to others before and after the service. What a variety of different gifts the Holy Spirit has given us as a church. If we walk around that serving fair later, I think we'll be encouraged by all the different ways that people are serving. The danger is that we all want to be the same, but we should celebrate the different gifts and the different characters that the Holy Spirit has given us. We all have different gifts. And then third of all, we are a body where each part has a role to play. Let me read verses 12 to 14. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You see, as a church, we're not just a club or a group or even a team. No, the connection between us is far closer than that. We are a body. And it is the Holy Spirit who's brought us together. You saw in verse 13, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And notice he says we were all baptized by, or it could equally be with or in, one Spirit. This baptism with the Spirit is not just something that has happened for some Christians. No, it has happened for all Christians. The moment we trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, takes up residence, and binds us together as one body. Now, the human body is made up of many different parts, and each part has a vital role to play. And so it is with the church. We're many different people, and each of us has a role to play that's vital to the health of the body. And this has a number of implications that we see here. The first is this: don't feel inferior. Since we are a body, no one should feel inferior. Have a look at verse 15. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Can you imagine your foot looking up at your hand and feeling a bit despairing about itself? The foot might say, "Oh, look at the hand. The hand has got those lovely long fingers. All I've got are these stumpy little toes." The foot might say, "Oh, the hand is so versatile. The hand can type at work. It can carve a chicken in the evening. Only the other day, the hand was writing a letter. But here I am, stuck down in the sock again." Well, how foolish. The foot is different to the hand, but they are both vital parts of the body. We're different to each other, and we all have a vital role to play. As Paul says in verse 18, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." What an encouragement. God has arranged each one of our gifts and the gifts we have between us as a church, just as he wants us to be. No one should feel inferior. Each of us has a role to play. Now, I know that for some, because of illness, because of difficult circumstances, it may be as much as we can do just to get here, or just to watch the service online. Well, please be encouraged that even in that situation, you are a vital part of the body. Just by getting here when you possibly can, just by keeping in touch when you can't get here, you are playing a vital role. You're showing others that Jesus cares for those in need and that Jesus can keep hold of us. At those times, just by getting here when we possibly can and by keeping in touch, we too are playing a vital role in the body. No one should feel inferior. And then equally, no one should feel superior. Again, there were those in the church in Corinth who were feeling superior. But look at verse 21. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Again, we might imagine the eye proudly comparing itself to the hand, looking down and thinking, "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. As the eye, I am so sophisticated. I have a retina. I have a lovely, colourful iris. I have these beautiful long eyelashes. But hand, you appear to be merely skin and bones. I don't need you." Again, how foolish. The eye and the hand are different, but they are both needed. Well, there is not a single member of our church family of whom any of us can say, "I don't need you." In fact, the parts that seem to be weaker, Paul says, are indispensable. And we must find ways of honouring those in our church family who seem weaker and helping them to realise that they are indispensable members of the body. No one should feel inferior, no one should feel superior. And then third of all, we must care for each other as members of one body. Let's look together at the middle of verse 24. "But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." God has brought us together, he's combined us, so that we might have concern for each other equally. Verse 26, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, Every part rejoices with it. Now, we know this in our human body. If I stub my toe in the morning, it's not just my toe that suffers. No, the whole body is affected. My mouth is shouting, my arms are flapping, my legs are jumping up and down. That's the same connection and concern that we must have in the church body. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Also in the body, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Think of a footballer who kicks the winning goal with his right foot. When his teammates run over, they don't just kiss and hug that right foot. No, the whole body is so honoured with hugs and embraces. Well, again, that's the kind of connections and sharings that we must have in the body of Christ. If one part has good news, we all rejoice. That's a challenge, isn't it, in a congregation of this size, where it takes time to get to know each other. But it means that whatever we can do to be strengthening our relationships is absolute gold dust. Now, we all do that in different ways. The coffee time before and after the service can be so useful. The meals we have, the congregation lunches and so on, are very valuable for this. Growth groups can be a great help for getting to know others in this way. Actually, serving together can often be the best thing. But in our different ways, anything we can do to be knowing and caring for each other like this is hugely valuable. Well, I'd like to conclude with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. What an amazing privilege it is to together be the body of Christ here on earth. By nature, we're rebels against God. Left to our own devices, we would have continued to reject him all our lives long. But in his grace, God gave his Son to die for our sin and gave his Spirit to open our hearts to Jesus, his Lord. And now he has made us members together of the body of Christ. That means we're all different. And we all need each other. I need you, and you need me. And it means that Jesus intends to work through us together as his body to bring his love, his gospel, to the world around us. Now, I think that is such an encouragement. It's an encouragement to keep on investing in relationships with one another so that we can care for each other in this way. It's an encouragement to keep on valuing our differences. That's the thing about a body. We're all different. We must celebrate that. And it's an encouragement to keep on serving one another. So many of us serve in different ways. I hope this has been an encouragement to keep going. There's no greater thing we can be doing with our gifts than serving the body of Christ. And each one of us has a part to play. Perhaps you'd like to look at a new or a different way to get involved serving. Well, go for it. Do use that fair afterwards to see where the needs are. Do speak to me and someone on the team about how you could get involved. There's no greater thing we can do with our gifts than serve together as the body of Christ. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're all different. And we need each other. Through us together, Jesus Christ works to bring his love and gospel to the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your work in our lives. We know it only because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we have been able to respond to Jesus as Lord. We thank you for the different gifts you've given us. We thank you that there is such variety of character and of abilities in our church family. And thank you that you have made us together the body of Christ. Help us to love each other. Help us to serve together in our different ways. And Lord Jesus, please work through us to bring your message of salvation to the world around us.